front of Jabal said that we will sleep in those tents, we will sleep in those halls, we will sleep wherever we have to sleep, but we are not going to go against the sunnat method of performing hajj. We will undertake the hajj in the proper manner. So at Mina you may read your Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha and Fajr Salat. Besides that, as I said, engage yourself in Tilawat, Ibadat, Zikr, because Mina is another place where Shaitan has got ample time. He knows everybody has gathered here and there's nothing to do, because every Haji says, what must we do? There's nothing to do. From Zuhr till next day, Fajr, they say, what must we do? There's nothing to do. So therefore, they start gossiping. South Africa, we leave behind to go for Hajj. But we bring the whole of South Africa back into Mina. And that is where the discussions take place of everything that you can think of. And especially when you are 10, 15, 50 in a room, then you can't even control the others. If you take a kitab and read, or if you have to speak to them about Hajj and about the virtues or anything like that, or read Quran Sharif or make zikr, then sometimes you find yourself a square peg in a round hole, completely out of place, or like a fish out of water, because those others are uncomfortable, because it's disturbing their gossip, it is disturbing their ghibah, and they talk about everything else, all worldly things. So brothers, to say that what is there to do, there's plenty to do. Either make tilawat of the Quran Sharif, make zikr, make namaz, or invite people towards deen, and if you are tired, then go to sleep. But don't engage in gossip and idle talk and chatter in that Mubarak place. Because you should be now preparing for the Hajj, the day of Arafah. And that was the hikmah and the wisdom behind taking everybody out on the 8th of Zulhijjah and bringing them into Mina. Because if all of them left Makkah Sharif suddenly and went into Arafat, then you haven't conditioned yourself. The sunnat namazes that we make before the farz namaz, it is all to put us into that frame of mind that just now farz namaz time is coming. So therefore you start making sunnat namazes, so you are getting into that frame of mind. So this coming away to Mina was intended for that, that now just the next day is going to be Arafat, and that is where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmat will know no bounds. So we must condition ourselves before arriving at Arafat. That is the whole purpose. So on the 9th of Zulhijjah now, which is the day of Arafah, after sunrise, preparation will be made to proceed to Arafat. Now this day is a very, very important day in the life of the Haji. Because this Arafat presence is farz, even for a little while. So much so that if a person is unconscious and he is taken in an ambulance through Arafat, then to his Hajj is valid. But if he doesn't reach Arafat, his Hajj is not valid. So on this day, it is extremely important that we make the best of the opportunity. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Al-Hajj wal-Arafah. Hajj is Arafah. Al-Hajj Arafah. That if you don't present yourself in Arafah, then there's no Hajj. Therefore, arrangement is normally made for those who are sick in hospitals and others to go to Arafat even for a little while. So when you are on Arafat now, there again, majority of our Hajis, they are more concerned about the food, the cold drink, the air conditioning of the tent, and so many other worldly requirements. We don't say you mustn't eat, we don't say you mustn't drink, we don't say you mustn't sleep, you mustn't have air-conditioned rooms. This is, in fact, I say that if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has blessed a person with wealth, he has got sufficient wealth, then unnecessarily don't go through hardship. If you can afford a good hotel, and you can afford to stay comfortably, then do not unnecessarily go through hardship and then blame it on Hajj. Because lots of people are not used to the Muassasa type of Hajj where you have to walk long distances and you have to go through a little bit of trial. They are not used to sleeping in very cheap type of beds and mattresses or sleeping on the floors. At home they haven't slept their whole life down. Now suddenly you put them into that kind of a condition, then what will happen is if they fall sick or ill, then they will blame the Hajj for it, that Hajj is difficult. Whereas Hajj is not difficult. If Allah Ta'ala gave the person plenty of wealth, then stay in a comfortable hotel, no problem. The only problem is that that hotel must not become a trap of shaitan for the person. This is the danger. That the comfortable hotels, the foyers there, the television whole day it is playing. Inside the rooms they've got such luxurious things and television and all the other things that distract the person. So what happens now that if it is hot outside, the person says, I'm in an air-conditioned hotel, and to go outside is going to be very hot, so now he makes his namaz in the room. Now he came all the way from South Africa, but because he's got a comfortable hotel now, you don't find him in the Haram Sharif. Or he's glued to the television even there. So these are the dangers. But if a person is in a comfortable hotel, but it doesn't distract him, it doesn't stop him from going to the Haram Sharif for his namazes, the only thing is that when he comes back to his hotel, he is comfortable, so if he has a few hours of good sleep, he knows he is fit for the next day again. Then there is no harm at all, that will become ibadat, the money that you spend in such kind of a hotel. So it's not the five-star hotel which is a problem. But what is the problem is that the people that make use of these type of hotels, generally the majority I'm talking about, no more it's the minority, the majority, and you will see it for yourself. You will find most of the time they spend in the hotel, either in the foyer or in the room, and they will not be in the haram except for namaz time. And many of them after that, even the namaz time, you don't find them in the Haram Sharif because they have to walk a little distance and it's hot outside. So that now becomes a problem. So even in Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, in whichever way you can make yourself comfortable, there's nothing wrong with that. But the purpose must be so that you can do better ibadat. For the purpose of ibadat, if you make yourself comfortable, there's no harm. Spending that kind of money will be sawab and reward. The director of Hamdar Dawakhana, multi-millionaire, he wrote to Hazrat Maulana Aftab Alam Sahib, the Khalifa and son of Hazrat Maulana Badri Alam Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He had taluk with him, he was bayat with him. Said, and the first time he was going for Hajj. So he wrote to him that I want to come for Hajj, but what I want to do is buy a car and travel by car right from India to Makkah Sharif and go through it the hard way and then return. Maulana replied, catch a plane, buy a first class ticket, come to Makkah Sharif, stay in a comfortable hotel, and after you have finished with your Hajj, then buy a car from Jeddah and travel back home with the car. So look at the buzrugs, where they see. And then he told us, he said, why did I give him this reply? He said, because if this man travels from home to Makkah Sharif, on the way the punctures and the accidents and the breakdown and running out of petrol and all those other difficulties that he would have experienced, then he would have added all that on the list of Hajj difficulties. And he would have said that Hajj is very difficult. Now that he comes comfortably on his return journey, when he will go, so the punctures and the accidents and the breakdowns and whatever he will experience, that's his own problem. Nobody asked him to go by car from there to. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran anywhere that he must do that. So this man who is not used to that kind of life, if suddenly he's trying to go through a very difficult life, he might have a problem. So there's no harm in that. The problem is that we should not get stuck to those televisions and those evils that are there. So now in Arafat, after Zuhr, there is a masjid there which is called Masjid-e-Namira. Unfortunately, lots of hajis think that that is on Arafat or in Arafat, and they spend their whole time there. Portion of that masjid is in Arafat and portion of it is outside Arafat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's tent was put in that masjid area. And after that he went to Arafat, front of Jabal Rahmat. So you can rest there if you wish to or go there, but the best is to go directly to the tents which have been allocated. And then after Zawal, make your Zuhr namaz, and since you are not making it in the masjid, so make the Zuhr in the Zuhr time and Asr in the Asr time. And don't enter into any argument with any person there. You will get everyone giving you a different fatwa there. One person will say you must make 2 rakats, the other one will say you must make 4 rakats. One will say you must make Zuhr and Asr together, the other one will say no, you must make it separate. Now you will not understand the reasons behind it and the different mazahib that are there, people of Shafi, Hanafi, Maliki and other mazhabs that come there. So those who are Hanafis, the simple rule is this, that if you are a musafir, then you will read 2 rakats of Zuhr and 2 rakats of Asr in the appropriate time. Zuhr in the Zuhr time, Asr in the Asr time. If you are going to the masjid in Amera, and there you are reading behind the Imam, then there Zuhr and Asr will be made together. Now all the reasons for that and the details you don't have to worry about. So don't argue with people there, because every person who has made a Hajj becomes a Mufti Sahab there. And every woman becomes a Muftiya there. So if you are going to ask too many Muftis and Muftiyas, then you will become confused. So don't argue. If they say that no, this is right, that person says no, that is right, that person says last Hajj I made this and this Hajj I made that, then well, you do it like that, this is what we have learned. If you are a musafir, that means in Makkah Sharif, if you stayed 15 days, then you will make 2 rakat of namaz, then you will make 4 rakat of Zuhr and 4 rakat of Asr in its proper time. And if you are a musafir, you stayed less than that, then you will make 2 rakat for Zuhr and 2 rakat for Asr. But if the Imam is a Muqeem and a local Imam, then of course you'll make the full namaz. It's as simple as that. So after you have made your Zuhr namaz, you have had your meals, that is another important thing, that do not overeat on this day. Because you are reaching the climax of your Hajj now. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was so fortunate that his Hajj was on a Friday. So it was Yawm Arafah and it was Friday. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on Arafat, from Zawal, after Zawal, after he made his Zuhr Asr, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mounted his camel, the Quswa, and facing the Jabal Rahmat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam stood and cried and cried and cried, making dua for the Ummah. That is where he delivered his final khutbah also. Afterwards, facing the congregation, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam delivered his final khutbah. The farewell khutbah that you see printed and distributed, that was at Arafat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave everything that a person can think of in that little khutbah. It is an ocean that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has put into that khutbah. Just on that khutbah people have written whole kitab. It was on that occasion. It was on that occasion that the ayat of the Holy Quran was revealed. Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa razitu lakum al-Islam deena. This day I have perfected for you your religion, and I have completed upon you my favors, and I have chosen Islam for you as your way of life. That ayat which brought about the completion of Islam was on that occasion. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's one sahabi fell down from a camel and passed away. It was in Arafat. Today we say a person passed away in an accident. He was in the path of Allah and he died. So here is a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he falls from a camel in Arafat and he passes away. What did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam order? That wrap him in the same sheet and bury him. And on the day of Qiyamah he will arise reading Labbaik. What a fortunate person. So on Arafat so many things happen. There's no time to go into the details. But this is the day that the Haji must not waste in anything but ibadah. Shaitan will try to put into our mind lots of things there in Arafat. So do not fall a prey to it, Shaitan's prompting. Keep away from all sin, all evil, and focus your attention on nothing but Allah. Arafat is a day now in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala promises forgiveness for everybody that is there. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala descends close to the first heaven. Now this descending and ascending is not a physical thing. It means that the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, His rahmat, His blessing, comes very, very close, right down. And it pours upon those people who are on Arafat. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala boastingly addresses the angels and says, look at these servants of mine. They have come from distant lands with disheveled hair, with their garments laden with dust. And their call is, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. We are at your service, O Allah. We are at your call, O Allah. You bear testimony to the fact that I have forgiven each and every one who is gathered here. The angels say, but O Allah, that woman is an evil woman. That person is an evil person. Allah Ta'ala says, you bear testimony, I have forgiven them too. So much so that if their sins are more than the waves of the ocean, more than the raindrops that fall from the heaven, and more than the trees that grow on earth, Allah Ta'ala says, I have forgiven them. All those sins are forgiven too. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam cried and he prayed for the ummah, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala guaranteed that he is forgiving everybody. I've explained this on many occasions, that the sin is forgiven, but that does not mean that if we have harmed anybody or we are owing anybody money, all that is forgiven too. That when we return, we have to pay those people back. But the sin is forgiven. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam prayed and prayed and he cried and cried. Allah ta'ala said, I forgive everything, but injustice I do not forgive. If any person has been unjust to anyone, then that sin I do not forgive. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it is reported that his beard became wet with his tears. Masoom Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he is praying for us in Arafat. He is asking for the whole ummah in Arafat. So we too should be praying for ourselves, our families, and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and praying to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that when we return, then he must return us better than what we were. And he must keep that iman solid in our heart until the dying day. Ask whatever you want, because Arafat is now a place for asking. There is nothing else to do in Arafat except make dua. When the wahi was coming on Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this last ayat was being revealed, the weight of that wahi was so much that the camel sat down. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam remained on Arafat till Maghrib time. So this Arafat is not a picnic place. Generally the whole atmosphere, especially with those groups who perform the so-called five-star hajj, is nothing but picnic, the majority. Allah Ta'ala must protect us and save us. There's nothing but drinking, eating, talking, gossiping, idling, relaxing. And in fact they say also, what a lovely atmosphere, just like picnic. So this is a very dangerous thing. That's the day of ibadah. It's a day to cry. So much so that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam didn't fast on Arafat. If you and I fast on the day of Arafat in South Africa, we get the sawab of 1 year's fast. But Fazal, to check whether Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is fasting or not, she presented milk. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting on the camel. He took the milk and he drank to show all the hajis that he's not fasting. Why did he not fast? Because if he had kept fast, every haji would have said it's a sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to fast on hajj, on the Yawm Arafah, when you are making hajj. So the weak ones would also have kept fast, and then they would have found it difficult. Look at the rahmat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on the ummah, that he didn't fast so that we may make our life easy there. Otherwise Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he would have been the first one to be desirous of fast. So why did he not fast so that it becomes easy on the ummah to engage in ibadat? They do not become tired and feel sleepy and feel weak, so that they may stay fit and engage in as much dua and zikr and tilawat and ibadat as possible. So this day of Arafah is a very important day. After you have made, or until sunset when you remain there, after sunset then you have to leave for Muzdalifah. If a person leaves Arafat before sunset, then he has to give dam, sacrifice one qurbani, one animal. But if he comes away back into Arafat before sunset, then he doesn't have to do that. So you must not leave the borders of Arafat before sunset. Some bus drivers are in a hurry, get out quickly. So do not be in a hurry, make sure that sun has set. But all your life you made Maghrib namaz in its proper time. Now it's the order of Allah Ta'ala that you don't make Maghrib here, although it's sunset, you go and make Maghrib and Isha together in Muzdalifah. So we are being trained that what is ibadat? It is obeying Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and His beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is ibadat. If they say you make namaz, you make namaz. If they say you don't make namaz, you don't make namaz. If they say that you postpone the Maghrib, you postpone it. And if they say to postpone is haram and to make qaza is haram, then you don't do that. So ibadat is obeying Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So after Maghrib, then you leave for Muzdalifah.